Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our church when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 2 called Jonah's Song.
If you're a surfer, you've been in the water, you know, sometimes seaweed, you think it's something that's trying to get you. You know, and you're throwing the seaweed up and it's just seaweed. But it can be real sticky and slimy. Can you imagine it being wrapped around your head, you know? Like a cocoon, if you will. There's Jonah. And he says, I descended, verse 6, to the roots of the mountains. Remember, he's writing his psalm now. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Henry Morris comments, so far as we know, the people of Jonah's day had no way of exploring the floor of the ocean. So they did not know that the coastal mountain ranges extended below the adjacent ground level on down to the bottom of the sea. Yet Jonah could actually see that this was the case, and so even mentioned it in his prayer. People didn't have the ability to scope the bottom. How did he know that this was where the roots of the mountains were, if you will? But see, apparently Jonah literally did hit rock bottom. Apparently he went to the bottom of the sea and the fish scooped him up down there. And so he says, NIV, verse 6, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever, but you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. The pit is a similar idea to Sheol or Hades. And you remember Jesus said, the gates of what? Hades will not prevail against the church. And Jonah says, the earth beneath me, it seemed like it was going to bar me in forever. I thought I was going to die. And once you die, it's appointed unto men to die once. And after this comes the what? Judgment. I think there's a lot of people that are banking for second chances. But the image of Sheol is like a place of bars or gates that don't raise up again. There are no exits. Any of you ever watched the pastor E.V. Hill? Now, E.V. Hill had some associations that I don't necessarily agree with, but he was a fiery preacher, and sometimes he would sit down in a chair, and one night I remember I was watching it, and he preached a message called, I Don't Want to Go to Hell. And every time he said, I don't want to go to hell, he would say it like this. I don't want to go to hell! I don't want to go to hell! And that's the way he preached. But he'd be real calm, and then he'd said it over and over again. And as he described what hell was like, he said, there are no exits. There are no windows. There are no second chances. I don't want to go to hell! And it just started to drive the point home. My goodness. Do we understand what we're dealing with here? Do we understand what Jonah said? Jonah was basically saying, man, I was staring those gates in the face. I was realizing that life got boiled down to the simplest of terms. And maybe his prayer was something like this, like the psalmist said, don't abandon my soul to Sheol, Lord. Whether it was literal Sheol or the sea represented Sheol, whatever it was. And if it was the sea, then a good portion of Jonah's experience was in the sea that he's describing. And he says, while I was fainting away, 7, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. The New King James says, when my soul fainted within me, the image here seems to be that he was dying. The image seems to be he was under the water and he was starting to lose consciousness. That's the idea. My soul was fainting away, and I cried to the Lord. I remembered the Lord. I came to my senses, almost like the idea of the prodigal son. I just had a moment where I went, how did I get here? You ever been there? And then you begin to retrace your steps. How am I sitting at the bottom of the ocean about to be swallowed up by a fish? How did I get here? Let's think back for a moment. Well, I was told to go to Nineveh, got on a ship going the other way, storm came. You get the picture? How did I get here? I remembered the Lord. I think there's so many people in our world today. They've grown up in the church. They've heard the gospel accounts. You ask them, they'll say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They'll give you all the right stuff, but they're asking even this morning. I've talked to them in the last 2 or 3 weeks. How did I get here? And the cool thing is, when someone does that and cries to the Lord, you know, he's so gracious. He hears their cry. And he says, Jonah says, verse 8, those who regard vain idols, King James says, lying vanities, forsake their faithfulness. The Hebrew word kesed, for forsake their faithfulness, is also translated mercy. It means they forsake their loyal love, but it has this idea, kesed has the idea more of covenant. They forsake their covenant loyalty. What is Jonah saying? Those who regard vain idols, the word vain in the Hebrew here means vapor, and it has the idea that idols are always empty, idolatry is always empty. It might look cool, it might look promising, but in the end, idolatry can never produce. Idolatry is usually about us making ourselves our God, or stuff, or elevating stuff in equality with God. And Jonah comes to the end of his psalm in this watery Sheol experience, and he says, if you chased after idols, they are absolutely vaporous. I was at a men's conference one time, and the preacher was preaching on James 4:14. Life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And he took one of those spray aerosol cans, and he sprayed it, and he saw the mist go up into the air, and how quickly does it dissipate? It takes a couple seconds. He said, that's kind of what our earthly life is like. James compares it to a vapor. We spray it, it's there, you can see it, and then it's what? It's gone. And Jonah's basically saying, if you regard vain idols, lying vanities, empty idols, they will never produce, they are vaporous, they're but a vapor. They may seem good, but in the end they will produce nothing but death. That's what he's saying. And those who follow vain idols, verse 8, middle of the verse, or end of the verse, forsake their faithfulness, they forsake their covenant loyalty. They forsake the one who purchased them, the God of their salvation. They leave their first love. Who's Jonah talking to? Well, he may be thinking of the sailors. You know, those pagans, they're praying to all those pagan gods. But even the sailors became believers, apparently. Remember, they're doing sacrifices on the ship. Thank you. They're praying to the right God now. Who's Jonah talking to? Perhaps himself. Because what had he done? He'd got on a ship with a bunch of pagans thinking he could run from the true God. And they worshiped these sea gods and goddesses and thought that they were in control. And the whole picture is, it's you, Jonah. You're the man. You're the one that forsook your covenant faithfulness to the true God and chased after vain idols, thinking that somehow they could move you away from God's hand, and they can't. But we've all done it, haven't we? We've all tried to go to other worldly things, the gods of this world, and said, I'm going to be over here for a while, God, just don't look, right? And we've run from the Lord. I want you to turn to Isaiah. We're almost done. You got to go a few books back. I want you to see what God says in Isaiah 45. It's a little bit before the Psalms, Isaiah 45. Look at verse 20. Isaiah 45:20. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. Isaiah 45:20. They have no knowledge. He's talking about the idols of the world, the lying vanities, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Isaiah 45:21. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced from old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me. A righteous God and a Savior, there is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, Isaiah 45:23. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. that to me every knee will bow. Sound familiar? Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord our righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Look at Isaiah 46, next chapter, verse 5. To whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Isaiah 46, 6. Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale hire a goldsmith and makes it into a god. They make their own gods. They bow down. Indeed, they worship it. Verse 7. They lift it up on their shoulder and carry it. Oh, excuse me, I'm carrying my god today. I added that. They set it in its place and it stands there. They've made a stand for it. It does not move from its place. Though one may cry to it, it cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his what? Distress.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people? Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 in the morning. Turn on the radio, it's on 99.5 FM. And I hear this pastor speak the word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 in the morning, and said, hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth. Because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere. So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, hey, where's Michael Lance located? She says, Corona. And I said, where's that? She said, Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road. That was 5 years ago. And my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance, right here on Walk in Truth.
Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale hire a goldsmith and makes it into a god. They make their own gods. They bow down. Indeed, they worship it. Verse 7. They lift it up on their shoulder and carry it. Oh, excuse me, I'm carrying my god today. I added that. They set it in its place and it stands there. They've made a stand for it. It does not move from its place. Though one may cry to it, it cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his, what? Distress. Now, there are so many things that I could say to you, brothers and sisters, about verses that deal with this, but read Isaiah 40 through 48, chapters 40 through 48, and you'll get the picture. God's saying, there's nobody else but me. There's no other God besides me. Please go back to Jonah, and we'll wrap up Jonah's psalm here. The idea here is that it's God and no one else. And so in Jonah 2:9, Jonah concludes and he says, "But I will sacrifice to thee," Jonah 2:9, "with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay." Jonah 2:9, end of the verse. Salvation is from the Lord. Can you imagine after Jonah was spit out on the seashore, was there any happier man on the planet than Jonah? Talk about a new lease on life. Talk about thinking that you were gone and saying this emergency prayer and all of a sudden, out you come, body surf into the sand, whatever it was, right? Can you imagine a happier man on the planet? Maybe he still had the seaweed hat, we don't know. He may have even looked different from his experience in the sea monster, maybe the stomach acids. There's a long ago story about a man who got delivered from a fish like this, and they said he was an albino, you know, all of his hair was gone and stuff. And it's possible that Jonah looked different, but he was different where it really mattered on the inside. He said, "I will look again." Notice what he says, "I will sacrifice to you." This has the idea of Old Testament thank offerings. "I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay." What did he vow? Did he make some deals in the belly of the fish? I don't know, but he might have. Because we've all done it. "Lord, if you get me out of this one, I will go to Nineveh. I will." Right? What I have vowed. Maybe it's his original commitment as a prophet. "Whatever you tell me to speak, I'll speak, Lord. Oops, I didn't do it in the case of Nineveh. What I vowed, I will pay." And then he says, "Salvation is from the Lord." Bible students, the Hebrew word for salvation here is Yeshua. Salvation is of the Lord. "What I have vowed, I will pay." Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips, giving what? Thanks to his name. Why do we give thanks? Because Yeshua is salvation. Because from the pit, I was saved. Because I was in the miry clay. Because I was lost. And the Lord 10 commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Why do I sing? Why do I do anything that I do? Why would I offer a sacrifice of praise? Because Yeshua is salvation. And Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Heart of the earth mean the grave? Possibly. Sheol? Possibly. I'll let you do a little bit more homework on that. But this is the sign. You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Jesus is salvation. And he is declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1, by resurrection from the dead. See, the book of Jonah is about Jesus. It is a sign to readers that God takes people from the pit of death. See, the gospel is this, brothers and sisters. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and he made us what? Alive. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the sign of Jonah, is about people who are destined to die because of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Yeshua, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the deliverer from the belly of death, from the grave, from Sheol, from Hades, from judgment. Do you understand? Without his blood, there is no remission of sins. Without him, there is no deliverance from the bars of death. Without him, you stay in the fish of death. Are you with me? Without him, you are lost, but now with him, you are found. You are released from the grave. One day we will rise and be made like unto our Lord. This is the sign. You want a sign? Kill my body. It will go into the grave 3 days and three nights, and it will come forth triumphantly. And those who believe that I am the resurrection and the life, though they die, they will what? Live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Death will not hold you. It was impossible for it to hold him. And if you belong to him, it will be impossible for it to hold you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the book of Jonah. Thank you for what it means to us to know that you have delivered us from our greatest enemy, which is sin and death. O death, says Paul, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that Paul then goes on to say that whatever we do in the Lord is never in vain, because we have this great hope. The book of Jonah is about hope. And we're going to watch as Jonah goes and does what he's vowed to do. And what I have vowed to the Lord, I will pay. Salvation is of the Lord, but though it's of the Lord, we've been created to do good works that have been preordained beforehand that we should walk in them. And though we are saved completely by grace, what we have vowed, we are to pay. We are to serve you, Lord. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Amen. And so, Father, we just want to pray right now that whatever you would say to us by your Holy Spirit, that we would just have ears to hear what your Spirit says to your church. Thank you that you've released us from the power of sin and death, saved us with an incredible gospel, called us with a holy calling. Thank you for your patience, because there have been so many times, like Jonah, that we have run from you. Whether we did it in these overt ways or not, it doesn't matter. And there's been times when we've hit rock bottom, and there's been times when we've known better, but you have been patient. And there's been times, Lord, when we have cried out to you from the pit, and you set our feet again upon solid rock. You raised us up from the miry clay. And so I pray, Lord, that if that's us today, that we would have thankful hearts. If we're far from you, Lord, we've been running from you, that you'd cause those people to come back to you. And Lord, if there are some who don't know you yet, I pray that they would quickly run to you so that they can experience the new life and victory that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Jonah's Song, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. That's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah, Chapter 2. If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, just a reminder that we have pastors on staff that would love to speak with you if you need prayer or counsel. If you're having a hard time and need someone to talk to, or maybe you just don't feel like talking but could use some prayer, call Walk in Truth Tuesdays through Fridays during daytime hours at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, whenever people hear the story of Jonah and the great fish, or Jonah and the whale, all these cute little metaphors, a whale of a tale, and people questioning the veracity of the story, and in these messages we've given some reasons that we should believe it scientifically and otherwise, but the biggest reason is Jonah was actually something that Jesus said occurred. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And of course, Jesus leads that to his death and resurrection. And so he ties it to that. Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. He believed in Jonah and Moses, etc. And that is about as authoritative as it gets, brothers and sisters. Does it matter that you believe? Yeah, it does matter, because this account is the Word of God. Now, you might struggle a little bit with some of the details and the angles of it, but remember, all things are possible with God. And God had his reasons for it to go down this way. And one of the reasons, of course, was to get Jonah where he was supposed to go, since he was in the water and God, you know, made everything and he can use whatever he wants. It also became, of course, a picture of Jesus being in the tomb and then coming out, rising from the dead. It serves as a sign. Jesus called it the sign of Jonah. So I think for those reasons, we can have confidence in the account and trust that the Bible is speaking truth to us. And the Bible is full of miracles. And if you're a believer, you believe in a God who is a miraculous God. It doesn't mean that miracles happen every single day, but when God wants to do something spectacular, he can do it. He has absolutely no problem. And that's what it means to walk by faith
and not by sight. Well, we come to the end of another week right here on Walk in Truth. I pray that you've been blessed. I am so grateful for all of our listeners, all of our partners, all of our podcasting family, radio family. And it's good to have another week under our belt to come into the weekend with joy and expectancy as we gather with the people of God and serve the living God. I pray you'll have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you right here next time on Walk in Truth. God bless you.
And don't forget that Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. I'm Mike Massaro, and thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.